Joining us now on the line to talk about the Blue Jays is Laura Armstrong, Blue Jays beat reporter for the Toronto Star. And Laura, are you still at Rogers Center? Were you able to leave? Where are you at right now?
I'm still here.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to leave.
Are you just going to hang around until 3?
What am I supposed to do with my Monday night? I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a hockey game going on. I'm not sure if that's your cup of tea, but...
It's really not.
Is this one of those nights? You know, they have the sleepovers at Rogers Center. Are you and some of the other beat reporters just going to hang out until 3 o'clock tomorrow?
I would be down. There are tarps on the field. We can use them as blankets. I'm there.
Yeah, you could build some
basically have to be back here tomorrow morning, right?
That's
so
true.
It's a doubleheader.
Yeah, you won't have much time to rest anyways. You'll have to be back at the ballpark pretty early for the double dip. And look, this has been an interesting last couple of days. 3 days for the Blue Jays with the two rainouts in Cleveland and the unexpected roof damage today. And when I first saw the reports on Twitter, I forget who the account was, but somebody said they were in Rogers Center. They heard a large crash and saw snow and ice falling on the field. And I thought, okay, what are the chances this actually happened? And then you start seeing other reports coming in, and you're like, oh, this doesn't sound good. Game time's in about, 6 hours or so. How are they going to be able to get this fixed? And we saw on Twitter, I mean, there were two guys on the roof, and praise those guys for bearing the elements and being out there in such a dangerous situation to try to fix the roof. So props to those guys, because it looked like they were able to seal the one large sort of hole and leak in the roof. But I guess there are several leaks in the roof. What can you tell us as far as what the situation is right now?
Yeah, so we just talked to Andrew Miller, who is the VP of Business Operations at the Blue Jays. He was actually on the field at the time of the ice crashing through the roof, which he says is about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. He was standing sort of shortstop positioning, if you will, okay. And he said that it was a very scary moment. It was a very loud noise coming through the roof, and the hole, from where we sit in the press box, which is quite far away, it didn't look necessarily that big. Like, you could see through to this, you could see the light filtering in, but it didn't seem that huge. But Andrew Miller said that it was a 3-foot by 5-foot hole. So it's quite significant. And I guess that there are holes in the Rogers Center Dome as is, usually small holes, and there are other small holes that the Blue Jays are going to continue to work to patch up overnight, but never, according to Miller, has anything like this happened sort of in the history of the Rogers Center. There are people who have been here since the stadium sort of opened, and nobody has ever seen anything happen like that. So my understanding is the patch is not, a permanent solution, but it's sort of fixed as much as it's probably going to be over the next 24 hours or whatever that may be.
Yeah, this isn't like when the Big O's roof caved in that one time.
Yeah.
To snow. This is on a large, a lot smaller of a scale. But it is funny, though, you bring that up, that, this has really never happened before. And yeah, it's pretty surprising, because you've got one of the, largest standing structures right next to it in mm-hmm. the CN Tower. And you would have thought maybe, at some time in the past 30 years that maybe there was snow falling on top of Rogers Center and some ice as well, and something like this would have happened. So it's pretty remarkable that it's taken this long for this type of damage to occur. But I guess we'll see the doubleheader tomorrow, first one in I think about 17 years. I think the last one was 2001 against mm-hmm. Kansas City. So this is going to be a lot of fun for baseball fans anyways. One ticket gets you into both games. It's going to be a lot of baseball tomorrow. But my question is, who's going to start? Because Jaime Garcia, of course, was pushed back a couple of days. He was supposed to start tonight for today's game. Is he going to be the guy again tomorrow?
Yes, he is. He is going to be the guy, and J-Hap is going to be in game two. So I guess, they've been in constant contact. John Gibbons said today that Pete Walker has been in constant contact with his pitchers, talking about how they're feeling and how they're doing, and they seem to be game to play. So I guess at this point, they're relying on that. And both those guys are going to stay in rotation, and both of those guys are going to go as they normally would have. Obviously, Garcia's day is pushed back once again, but Hap was scheduled to start tomorrow, so he'll just start a couple hours later.
Yeah, and I imagine these guys have been throwing the last couple of days, at least to be fresh. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're just, you know, sitting and waiting and not doing anything. They're trying to keep ready and stay fresh. But, you know, despite all the craziness that's gone on the last 3 days, Laura, it really seems like the Blue Jays have kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. You know, a lot of that has to do with the playoffs, with the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs mm-hmm. going on right now. Mm-hmm. But they are 9-5 and one of the better teams in the American League right now. How surprised are you by this start 14 games into the year?
Yeah, I think that everybody is fairly surprised. I think that, you know, things have gone well for the Blue Jays so far this year. We haven't seen a lot of injuries. Obviously, Josh Donaldson is a pretty major concern. But other than that, everybody else seems to be healthy and, like, sort of happy to work out, you know, smaller issues. But it's definitely been a really good start for the Jays. And I think that the Jays knew that this is going to be sort of a time where not a lot of people are going to be paying attention to them. The Raptors, the Leafs, they're very exciting teams. I'd like to throw TSC in there personally, but I know sure. that not everybody else probably would.
Definitely. I would.
You know,
yeah.
Like those three teams are drawing attention away from the Jays. And I think that what the Jays were hoping for is that, you know, when people start to tune back in, that they're not, you know, 2-11 or under 500 or whatever. And so far they've really set themselves on a path to, you know, be showing well once these people come back, which I think is all that they sort of really expected, over the course of the season. Josh Donaldson, I remember being asked right early in the beginning of the year when, the Chicago White Sox were in town. It was the first Monday at home, and there were very few people after a lot of people had filled the stands against the Yankees over the opening series. And he sort of said, well, A, it's Monday. How many people are going to show up on a Monday baseball game? And B, I really do believe that, you know, this is a sports town. And once we show fans that we're here to play ball, for lack of better words, then they're going to come back. And I think that as long as the Blue Jays are showing well, which they've done so far, then they're going to have people fill the stands once, you know, playoff madness calms down and once the weather gets hopefully significantly better than it is today.
Yeah, for sure. I think that'll play a big factor. The weather is one thing, but it all hinges on the success of the team. That is very true. And all you have to do is go back to 2015, the first couple of months. And I remember, you know, Josh Donaldson's hitting walk-off home runs in his first season with the Blue Jays. And you look at the stands and there's nobody out there. And we all remember that mm-hmm. amazing catch that Kevin Pillar made. There was like 15,000 people in the stands when he did that against the game against Tampa Bay. So even, you know, 3 seasons ago, fans were definitely taking a wait-and-see approach to find out what this team is all about. And early on, it's looked really good, which is pretty remarkable, Laura, because you look at the roster that the Blue Jays are throwing out there right now, and no disrespect to these guys, but if you did show me this roster on paper and, you know, compared it to the ones the Blue Jays have had the last 3 seasons and said, you know, this is going to be the team that's going to get off to the best start of those clubs, we all would have thought, you were crazy. So it's pretty incredible just how well they've played so far in the first 14 games or so. But I guess on the flip side, despite being 4 games over 500, they're not a perfect team. Are there any areas that kind of concern you at this point?
I mean, I think that the biggest concern, I think there's two things that sort of concern me the most, in the sense that, you know, health, I think, is paramount to this team. I think it's been paramount to this team since the beginning. And it's something that you can't necessarily control. But, you know, how bad is Josh Donaldson's injury for real? How long is he going to be gone? Is Marco Estrada's back? Given said today that Marco is feeling well, which is a good thing, but is Marco Estrada's back going to be able to continue to hold up? I think those are two sort of big questions hanging around this team. And you know, one of them could be answered by the end of the week when Marco has a good start. But I think that the Josh Donaldson question certainly looms large. And I also think that, you know, it's been a sort of shaky start to the year for Marcus Stroman, and I do expect that Marcus Stroman is going to sort of jump out of that and return to the guy that, you know, really led this team in terms of pitching last year. But I certainly think it's been a little bit of a concerning start to the year for him. And I recognize that he had a short spring and maybe he's just sort of getting his groove back. But you certainly hope that that's not something that's going to last, because you want him to be one of those guys that they can rely on every 5 days.
Laura Armstrong, Blue Jays beat writer for the Toronto Star, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. I'm Rob Wong here on the Sportsnet radio network. And it is true, when it comes to Marcus Stroman, there is a pretty large track record there to fall back on and expect that he will be able to turn things around. The other sort of thing I'm looking at right now is just how Teoscar Hernandez fits into all of this, and it all obviously hinges on the health of Josh Donaldson and Kendrys Morales and when those guys are able to return. And it was a good debut with a couple of hits for Teoscar on Friday night, and I guess he and Randall Grichuk are kind of tied at the hip right now, and I guess whoever performs the best is going to get the majority of the playing time. Is that how you kind of see this potentially playing out?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, I think the Jays are hopeful that Grichuk is, I mean, certainly they're hopeful that Grichuk's gonna jump back from, this really quite bad start to the season that he's had. But in the meantime, Teoscar Hernandez sees this as an opportunity, I'm sure. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to him in Buffalo the day that he was called up, and he's well aware of the support that there is in Toronto for him. And I think that really feeds him. And for a guy who feels like he's being sort of feeding off of the crowd and feeding off of people who really want to see him in the big leagues versus a guy who, you know, is probably lacking in confidence, that could be a very interesting dynamic, because you'd think that one of them is going to be sort of the opening day starter and was touted as the starting right fielder from months and months ago. But within, you know, a few weeks, that could all change. And that's just the game. That's how it goes. If you don't play, there's always somebody who can sort of take your spot. So I think that, you know, the Jays are very interested in the competition that their depth offers them. I think any professional team is you know, happy with that. And it's whoever can put the best numbers up on the field. So if Teoscar Hernandez is putting the best numbers on the field, I don't see why the Jays don't go with them.
Well, Laura, while we have here, let's talk about some Toronto FC, since you brought them up. And I think, it is true, though, out of all the Toronto sports teams right now, they are definitely getting the least amount of attention, I would say. I mean, people definitely tuned in to watch that Club America game, and people have really enjoyed what they've done so far in CONCACAF Champions League. But on the whole, they definitely haven't gotten the same amount of publicity as some of the other teams right now. But what have you made of this accomplishment? Because I don't necessarily know what to compare it to, because Toronto FC 1 has never gotten to this point in soccer. In North America is still, you know, especially Major League Soccer, it only goes so far as the public consciousness and people's interest. Mm-hmm. For me anyways, just as an outsider looking at it, it does seem like an incredible accomplishment for a team from Major League Soccer to beat two of the best teams from Mexico, and they still have to face another one of the top teams there. But even just to get to this point, it really is quite remarkable.
Yeah, so I think that why you don't have a reason to compare it to anything is, or you don't know what to compare it to, is because there's nothing to compare it to. There are two teams that have previously made it to the finals. Montreal did it 1 year, and Real Salt Lake did another year. But TFC is doing it in such a fashion that it's no fluke that they're here. It's no fluke that they are in the finals, and it's no fluke that they're favorites in this turn, in this sort of two-leg series that they're entering into tomorrow night. Chivas is currently sitting 16th in Liga MX, and TFC has already beaten the third place team in Liga MX and the fourth place team in Liga MX. So the quality of their opponent tomorrow night, while it's a final and while Chivas is certainly going to bring it, is not as good as the quality of the opponent they've already faced and already beaten. So that's just, it's very impressive. And, you know, I think that it's hard to tell when you're in it, and it's too early necessarily to call in terms of what TFC is doing, but this team is could be on the cusp of sort of beginning a dynasty in terms of their legacy in Major League Soccer. They're already going to have a legacy in the sense that, you know, last year they had the most points tally. They won the MLS Cup, the first Canadian team to do so. If they win this, they're going to be the first Major League Soccer team to ever win this modern version of the CONCACAF Champions League. So it's a huge deal. And in terms of what they're looking forward to, that's the Club World Cup. If they win this two-leg series, they go to the Club World Cup, and they could face teams like Liverpool, like Real Madrid, like Bayern Munich, like Roma. Think about it. This team, a few years ago, not long ago, was, you know, being called by their own players like one of the worst soccer teams in the world. And now they could face a team like Bayern Munich. It's really quite huge for the team, for the league, to sort of get not only national recognition, not only recognition in North America, but possibly global recognition for their accomplishments.
Yeah, I believe it was Danny Kuvermans that said that, correct?
Yeah.
I wonder what Danny's thinking right now watching Toronto FC and wondering, well, why couldn't they do that when I was there? Go on this type of run, spend this kind of money. So it's pretty crazy.
Exactly.
It is true. It is true, though, just how far this organization has come. I mean, I covered some of the games in the infancy of the franchise, and it was difficult to watch a lot of that. And it's kind of funny, you know, talking to some other reporters that were there and seeing them nowadays and kind of reminiscing on some of the names and players that were on those teams and getting to laugh about it, just how far they've come. Mm-hmm. But it's been a lot of fun watching TFC, and it'll be a lot of fun watching to see how they do in the final of the CONCACAF Champions League. Laura, we appreciate it. Stay safe at Rogers Center. You normally would be safe inside in a dome, but considering what's gone on there today, it's an interesting time. But we appreciate you joining us tonight, and enjoy the doubleheader tomorrow.
Thanks, Rob. I'll keep my helmet on.
That sounds good. There's Laura Armstrong.